live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 10th day of March, 2026. Before I introduce to you my guest for the day and the topic we are going to address, I wanted to give a special shout out today to Tyler Weidler, or Weidler. I don't know how to pronounce that. He is a teaching elder at York Springs Bible Church in York Springs, Pennsylvania. And he sent me a wonderful email today letting me know how blessed he was by attending last Thursday's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon. And he told me something very fascinating about himself. He planted York Springs Bible Church in 2014 when he and the congregation were still a member or members of the Foursquare Pentecostal denomination. And by God's grace, that congregation has pulled out of the Foursquare denomination and have come to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, and they have adopted the 1689 London Baptist Confession. So I am absolutely, utterly thrilled to hear this, and I have put Pastor Tyler in contact with a very dear friend of mine, Dave Dykstra, who is a retired pastor after decades of pastoral ministry in New Jersey and Texas. And he is currently living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Tyler is seeking for an older brother in Christ to help mentor him in this new journey into the Reformed Baptist faith. And Dave Dykstra is just the man to do it, especially also since they are relatively close to one another geographically. So, hope you're listening, Tyler, and I hope to hear back from you with praise reports regarding your meetings with my dear brother, Dave Dykstra. Well, today we have a first-time guest that I am thrilled to interview. In fact, I just mentioned last week's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, which was held at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. We were thrilled to have over 200 copies of the book by my guest today, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People, that were donated by my dear friends at Founders Press, so that every man in attendance at the pastor's luncheon could receive their own copy. And I'm so delighted we have, for the very first time, Dr. Corey W. Johnson as our guest today, author and pastor of Providence Baptist Church of Pasadena, Texas, and co-founder of Providence Bible Institute. And as I said, we are addressing the theme of his book, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Pastor Corey Johnson.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here. I look forward to the discussion.
Amen. And I also want to let our listeners know that an elder at Providence Baptist Church of Pasadena, Texas, happens to be someone that no doubt you have all heard about on the news. He is Barry Wilmore, and he is one of the astronauts that were stranded in space and were thankfully, by God's mercy, rescued and are now back on planet Earth. And it's so good to know that Barry is safe and sound, and also that he is such a bright light, if you will, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and declaring his faith in Christ wherever the Lord gives him opportunities to do so publicly. And if you want to look up my interview with Barry, whose nickname is Butch Wilmore, if you type in astronaut at irontripandzionradio.com in the search engine, type in astronaut, that interview will come up. He is the second astronaut, actually, that I've interviewed. So there will be more than one interview that comes up. I have had the privilege to also interview another Christian astronaut, Colonel Jeffrey N. Williams, on a couple of occasions. But I am so thrilled to have you on, as I said, brother. Could you please let our listeners know something about Providence Baptist Church of Pasadena, Texas?
Yeah. Last year, we celebrated our 25th anniversary. The church was planted by Tommy Don. He planted the church in 2000, and the Lord has just been kind to us. He's been very gracious to us. We're in Pasadena, Texas. The church over the last probably 5 years or so has seen numerical growth in a way that we hadn't seen prior. But it's just one thing that I would say about Providence. When I came to the church in 2011, and it was just a breath of fresh air. A breath of fresh air to be around people who loved God's word, who weren't interested in entertainment in terms of corporate worship, but just wanted to hear God's word and wanted to worship God together. And so being in this community where you have young and old and everywhere in between and encouraging one another, like I say, it's just been a breath of fresh air to be there. And I've been there since 2011, me and my wife, and we've raised our kids in this church. And I was not looking to be a pastor at this church, but just looking for a good, healthy church. And the Lord had different plans for me. And I've been one of the pastors since 2015 at Providence.
And I understand that you are a theologically reformed Baptist church.
Yes, we are. We subscribe to the 1689 London Confession of Faith. And so we call ourselves a Reformed Baptist Church. Yes, sir.
Tell us about the Providence Bible Institute.
Yeah, that's something Tommy and I, we started probably in 2011, 2012. And we wanted to provide theological education at an affordable rate. And it's not quite seminary level education, but we still try to provide a robust theological education. Even tonight, Tommy and I we're co-teaching an Old Testament overview. This is our second class. We are teaching on the prophets and on some of the writings such as Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and books such as that. And so we have a program, a certificate track program that we are working to refine. And tonight, our class probably has around 34 people in it. And so we have some people who are just the layman who is looking to increase in their knowledge of God's word and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you have pastors, a few pastors who are lay pastors, or there's a couple guys who are considering being pastors who are coming as well. So we've had the opportunity to be able to train lay people and people in pastoral ministry, both at our church and outside our church, for 10 plus years in this. And so it's been a joy. I mean, I would say, I was thinking about the other day, I don't know who benefits more, if the students benefit or if I benefit more, just from the studies. I love it. I've taught history, you know, I've taught Greek, Hebrew, areas where I'm not strong in, but it's forced me to study and learn more, and just more than anything, just growing more and more in love with our God and Savior.
Amen. Well, if anybody lives in the Pasadena, Texas area, or plans to travel through there because of vacation or business, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in the Pasadena, Texas area, you may visit their website to find out more about them and get directions and so on. Providence-bc.com. Providence-bc.com. And if you want to learn more about the Providence Bible Institute, go to providence-bc.com/learn. Providence-bc.com/learn. And God willing, we'll be repeating that information later on in the program. By the way, what major cities in Texas would Pasadena be reasonably close to?
Yeah, we're southeast quadrant of the Houston area. So we're, you got Houston, but then you got Pearland. Down the road, we've got Galveston. So people are coming to the coast here. So those are the areas near us, the cities near us.
Great. Well, as you know, brother, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest provide a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord rose up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And so let's hear your story.
Yeah, so grew up in a Christian home. Thankful to the Lord for having parents who I don't remember ever not going to church. I mean, it was just a given that we would be in church. And so raised in Southern Baptist churches in the 80s, 90s, that era, born in 81. So in that era. And so grew up hearing the gospel, hearing a lot about punishment that would come upon sinners, hearing about hell, and going to revival meetings throughout the week. That, and one in particular, I remember just hearing about sin, about hell, and about needing a savior, and just struggling with conviction as a child. One night we were driving home from a week long, like I say, revival meeting, and just in the backseat of my parents' car, I remember calling upon the name of the Lord. And you know, then talked with the pastor after that. I can remember some of the diagrams, the baseball diagram. I've never used that, but the baseball diamond. I can't remember even what the orderings were. I think first was maybe conversion. Second was baptism. I can't remember. But I was baptized at 10 years old. Really remember just being on fire for the Lord. I remember inviting one of my school teachers to come to my baptism and talked of Christ, loved the word, took notes during sermons. Just remember just loving God, striving for holiness. I could keep going. I don't know if you want to go from there, but that would be just in a nutshell my conversion as a child, but then learned more over the years. I don't know how far you want me to go with that story.
So you could go as long as you want. We do have a 2-hour show.
All right. Well, great, great. Well, so I like I say, converted as a child, baptized at 10, and then around 15 or 16, I felt the Lord calling me to ministry. At the time, I didn't want anything to do with that. Describe it just briefly, summarize, went the way of Jonah. I'd say I was swallowed up by the world, so to speak. And the Lord really used that time, just those few years, to show me more and more about the depth of my depravity and my constant need for Christ. And with that, I would say that, you know, I'm responsible for what I do and what I've done, but the Lord sovereignly orchestrated that time. And really out of that, I would say, was my conversion to Calvinism. I realized it had to be all of grace. I did not grow up in a Calvinistic church, grew up more semi-Pelagian, Calminian, depending on how you want to define it. At least the last point. But I realized it had to be all of grace. Otherwise, I'd be lost in my sin. And it took me some time to learn the doctrines of grace. And I would say I'm still learning the doctrines of grace and the depths of God's love for his children. But I'm just grateful how the Lord used that time just to show me that while I trusted in Christ, believed in Christ, but he showed me that salvation could only belong to him. And that as you look at Ephesians 1, and we see that it's to the praise of his glorious grace. And that became more and more real to me. And I would say just over the years, the Lord continues to amaze me as I learn more and more about his salvation. And just learning more and more that it's all of grace. There is nothing in me that is savable, that's worth saving, but the Lord God in his tender loving kindness and mercy has reached down and saved a sinner like me, even in young age. And just am grateful that God is a God who saves.
Amen. And what were the means that God used, specific authors and so on, or specific preachers that he used to lead you to discover and embrace Calvinism, also known as Reformed theology and the doctrines of sovereign grace?
Yeah, actually, he used an author using scripture out of context, Rick Warren, to be honest. it was in purpose-driven life. I was teaching through it, but he used this verse in 1 Corinthians and just talked about how that there's everything you have has been given to you. And why do you boast as though it's not been given to you? Why do you boast as though it comes from you? So it's, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you've received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? And so as that verse started really resonating with me, and as I realized that he had taken it out of context, it just really, I started to see that even the faith that I had, and this was a years-long process, but even the faith that I had was given to me from the Lord. And as I'm learning that and seeing that, because I'm asking questions like, why did I believe and my neighbor not? Why did I heard the same gospel, grew up in the same church? Why did I believe that message and them not? And so eventually it just came to the fact that it had to be the Lord that did this. And as I'm wrestling with that, I'm going to seminary at the time, going to Southwestern. There's a Houston campus. And so I'm learning from men like Jim Hamilton. I'm listening to others. I'm listening to John Piper and guys like that. And just as I'm studying, I'm just starting to see in scripture and ultimately through the scriptures that this is all of grace, all of the Lord. And I'm thankful for Jim Hamilton. He's actually the reason why I'm at Providence. He was an elder, not an elder. He was a member of Providence at one point when he was here. And just through him, he was showing me and through our classes, through just exegeting scripture, showing God's sovereignty and salvation. And then one book I'll say, a good book that helped me was J.I. Packer's Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. That book right there just really brought it all together, brought it home. And that's one of my favorite books to recommend to people who are struggling with God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. And I would say that book, which I was assigned very early on in seminary, really helped solidify this wrangling that I had and brought me to understand the doctrines of grace, even though I didn't have all the categories yet, but was just ripe to learn more about God's grace.
Yes, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God is one of the books that you hear time and time and time again from people who have come to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, that the Lord used that book mightily in their hearts and lives. So we praise God that you have come to those teachings. And it's interesting, you mentioned the unexpected way that you first began to investigate the doctrines of grace was through someone who is no advocate of those things, although it depends on who he's talking to at the time. Rick Warren, as you know, is quite a chameleon. And sometimes he sounds like he's a Roman Catholic. Sometimes he sounds like he is a leftist. Sometimes he sounds like he's an evangelical, and sometimes he sounds like he's a Calvinist, depending upon who's interviewing him or who his audience is. But a friend of mine, very dear friend of mine, Ed Moore, who pastors North Shore Baptist Church of Bayside, Queens, New York, he was raised Christian in an Arminian Christian home, and he came to discover the doctrines of grace and embrace them when he was in a secular college, and his I think it was a course in American history. And his professor, who I think may have even been an atheist, said in one of the classes, you cannot properly understand American history without knowing who Jonathan Edwards was and what he taught. And this man went on to teach what Jonathan Edwards taught, even though he didn't believe it himself. Ed heard this and quickly began to investigate the scriptures, and he came to quickly believe in these things. So, and still proclaims them today.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we are discussing, as we've already mentioned, your book today, which every parent should definitely get a hold of this book. And in fact, just young people in general should get a hold of this book that we are going to be talking about today, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People. Tell us the origins of what compelled you to even begin contemplating writing this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with probably best to consider my doctoral studies. I went to Midwestern pursuing a PhD, and really wanted to write on and really research early Baptist, particular Baptist, and their understanding of children. We, as being a 1689 Reformed Baptist church, and without a whole lot of solid Presbyterian churches in the area, we would often come, you know, a lot of people would, a lot of Presbyterian visitors would come over and have conversations with them, and hearing some differences in there and, you know, accusations. I would say they're more modern about how we treat our children than they were historically. So I wanted to go investigate. And as I did that, I was planning to write and study more comprehensively, but I just came across Benjamin Keach. And Benjamin Keach, just stopped with him because he had a lot to say about and to children. And as I'm studying him, researching, writing my dissertation, I come across some sermons that he preached to the young people in his church. I'm not sure if they were preached from during the worship service or in like what we might call more of like a Sunday school setting today, but they were nonetheless preached to the children, to the young, and by children, young people. That can be anywhere from, you know, 3, 4 to up to 25. I mean, he's not just saying a certain certain age group there. But the adults, the parents were also there. And as I came across that, I took some of that and it was valuable for my dissertation, but I just knew I wanted to come back to it. And because in one of these sermons, he lists out these sins that are common to young people. And so a year or so after I graduated, I put together lessons for our youth at the church for a midweek lesson and just taught through these things, not ever expecting this to turn into anything more besides just teaching the young people at our church. And then within probably a few months, I'm in Ecuador. Me and actually Barry and a couple other guys are in Ecuador, and we go down there to meet Jorge Rodriguez. And Jorge Rodriguez is a man who wears many hats, but he has a publishing house called Legado Bautista Confessional. And he was just asking me about ideas, things, if I had anything to published in Spanish, and I told him about these lessons, and he encouraged me to write this, to put it into a book. And so I did that for them, wrote it for them. It's Los Pecados Comunes en los Jóvenes. They published it in last year. It came out in Spanish, and I really wasn't planning to publish it in English, but I had people asking constantly, where's the English version? Where's the English version? And so I decided to submit it for publication there. And one thing I mentioned in the book, I really think Jorge was used by the Lord for me to labor through this, to really deal with the sins in my own heart, because it exposes me just as much as these things that talking about these sins common to young people. I struggle with the very same sins that they do. And I really feel like the Lord used this for me. And I pray that it might be a blessing to others, to other churches and young people, pastors, everywhere, anyone who is wanting to think more about how to help our young people see their hearts and understand their hearts and see their need for Christ. And so that's the origin for the book there.
Yeah, what you were just saying, how you realized that these warnings and chastisements and just the whole realm of the violation of God's law that you have categorized as common to young people could be equally applied to you. It reminded me of a story that my first pastor as a born-again Christian told me, and it involved an elderly missionary, and there were, I believe he was speaking at a pastor's conference, and one of the men said to him something of the effect, well, it, one of the blessings of being a senior saint, a man of your advanced age, must be that you are no longer plagued with the temptations and the sins of younger men. It must be a joy to have passed that by at this stage in your life. And apparently the elderly missionary bowed his head and shook his head and said, brother, if you only knew how even a man of my advanced years has to pray to the Lord every day to fend off the temptations that you might think are only for the young, but they plague me even to this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's in teaching these lessons and writing it, I recognize that I am I know this, but it reminded me all the more I'm a fellow sinner in need of Christ. And just when you think about the demands of the law, if any of us ever think that we are upholding the law perfectly and beyond sin's temptation, I think we have an improper understanding of God's law. We've brought it down. We've reduced it. And then we have an improper understanding of Christ, who, as we think about these sins that we struggle with and think that Christ never once entertained sin, I'm amazed. And that's why he's such a great savior, because my sin is great, but he's an even greater savior. And so that's writing this and hearing that story is a good reminder that on this side of glory, we will struggle with the very same sins. And I think one of God's means of reminding us of that is discipling and teaching others, that constantly you see in the Old Testament to remember these things, but you also see teach these to your children and your children's children. And as we're teaching these things, we're constantly remembering as well. And I think that's one of God's means to bring to mind his law and his gospel into our lives as well.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And if you have a personal and private question, and this sort of subject, definitely it is a no-brainer that it may evoke questions from listeners that are intensely personal and private. You may remain anonymous if you are compelled to do so. But if you're just asking general questions, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors. And keep in mind, our sponsors are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. So please never forget to try to contact our sponsors as often as you can. To let them know that you thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And whenever possible, purchase whatever they have to offer. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. And by the way, folks, I want you to mark down on your calendar to tune in tomorrow to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when I interview for the first time Jonathan Moorhead who is an elder at Geneva Bible Church in Switzerland. He is going to be talking about his book, The Trial of the 16th Century, Calvin and Servetus, a topic of that has provoked great debate in the body of Christ, and about an incident, an infamous trial in history that has divided brothers and sisters, and unfortunately, that enemies of the doctrines of sovereign grace have often used as a weapon against Calvinists, and that weapon is often saturated with slander, exaggeration, and misinformation. So I think it would be very wise for you to listen to that program, The Trial of the 16th Century, Calvin and Servetus, which is also the title of the book we will be addressing tomorrow with Jonathan Moorhead. But we are now back to continue our conversation with today's guest, Dr. Corey W. Johnson, and we are discussing his book, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People. If you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. It is interesting, the specific words you used in your title, Corey, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, specifically the term vanity. Tell us why you chose that. You have quite a comical / sinister looking cover of a woman. It's kind of funny in one sense because it looks like it could be an Elizabethan era picture of a woman, and yet she's holding up a cell phone looking at herself, and there's a very, very large rattlesnake wrapped around her. If you could explain that.
Well, first of all, I'll say my original title was Sins Common to Young People, which was not very creative. Not a very creative guy. And so the publishers at Founders Press, they recommended The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People, because of the content of the book. That's how it begins, you know, The Folly and Vanity of Youth. I mean, Keach says, no age is more subject to folly. Let me find the exact quote. No age is more subject to folly and vanity than childhood and youth. And so it's a fitting title. And just thinking about the foolishness of youth and the vanity of youth, you know, we use vanity a little bit differently today than historical use. Today we think of it more of superficial things, but vanity really has that idea of empty, something that's fleeting, a breath. That youth is fleeting. It's something that will not last forever, and that's one of the areas in the book and that Keith talks about thinking. Young people thinking they're going to live a long life. And so it's really wrapped up in that, the foolishness that seems to be common among young people, and then that vanity, it's a fleeting time. And so therefore, young age is the best time, as Keach in multiple works, it's the best time to enter into the Lord's service. And so then the picture on here that was also designed, and I think it's way better than anything I could have done. What I would have done is just have words on a blank page, a dark page. But I loved what they did. I love the cover. I mean, I think it looks good. It shows how that sin even the phone here today, how it seems so innocent, but really what is just lurking there, the sins that are so common. And so I love what they did. It's way better than I could have done, and it's way better than I could have imagined. So I'm really grateful with Founders and how the book has turned out. So
it would probably be helpful if you explain a little bit about one of the specific sources of inspiration behind this book, the aforementioned Benjamin Keach, the great 17th century Baptist hero, especially of Reformed Baptists. But tell us about Benjamin Keach. We're going to be discussing Benjamin Keach in greater depth with Dr. Corey W. Johnson on two upcoming episodes of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I think, I don't have my calendar right in front of me. Is one of them this Friday?
This Friday.
That's right. That will be our second interview this Friday. But tell us about Benjamin Keach.
Yeah, so Benjamin Keach was a pastor, husband, father, author, published more works than any of his contemporaries during his lifetime, probably even, well, I shouldn't say combined. I'd have to look at that. But his writing surpassed many. He was a champion for the truth of God's word. He was a lover of Christ and his bride, the church. And Benjamin Keach was a particular Baptist pastor. He started out as a General Baptist Arminian and then became a Calvinistic Baptist pastor, a signatory of the 1689 Confession, and so someone who very like-minded with. I don't agree with him in every single detail, but find a friend from the 17th century in Benjamin Keach. He lived from 1640 to 1704. It was a time, an interesting time to be alive. I'd love that we can talk more about the era in one of the upcoming episodes. But Keach was someone who was persecuted. He was persecuted for his Baptist views, for views that today we don't consider believers' baptism to be something that you might be persecuted, thrown in jail for. Well, Keach was. And so Keach was someone who also wrote many books, but he also wrote books for children. And that's where I studied. That was the emphasis of my study were really his works that were about and for children. And so you could see that he had a heart to train up children, young people in the ways of God, and also calling upon parents to do the same. And so that's who I wanted to really try to speak in the spirit of Benjamin Keach, try to teach the way that he was teaching there. And the good thing about someone who died in 1704 is he can't come back and say, I didn't do it. but that's someone who I've spent a lot of time studying, read him a lot, far and wide, and just was greatly encouraged by him. And even the emphasis that I see him putting in his pastoral ministry towards the young people in his midst, he certainly did not ignore them. So,
yes, and I'm going to give a shout out to the individual who highly recommend interview Dr. Corey W. Johnson to begin with, and that's Aaron Wright, pastor at Grace Family Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, which was the church at one time pastored by the late Vody Balcom. And Aaron is also the American ambassador for Broken Wharf, a fairly recent Reformed Baptist publisher based in the UK. And when Aaron Wright and I started to discuss Benjamin Keach, he said to me, well, I've got a very strong recommendation for you for a guest, and that's Dr. Corey W. Johnson, who has a great depth of knowledge on Benjamin Keach. And so I immediately contacted Corey, and the rest is history. So thanks again, Aaron, for that fine recommendation. Tell us how you categorize these sins and that are common to young people, and what is the anecdote, if you will, that you are providing?
Yeah, so taking Keach's sermon, I basically follow his there's an appendix in the back of the book where you can see the excerpt, so I follow his ordering in the middle, except for the first and last sin. Those were not in his list of sins. So pride and then running with bad company, those were not in that list, but they were all throughout his other works. And really, pride undergirds all of them. And so categorizing based on how he categorized, and going through pride, idleness, and deferment, being rash and inconsiderate, gratifying carnal appetites like lusts of the flesh, prodigality, and anger. There's a couple that he deals with that I actually, looking back, would have liked to have dealt with more. He goes to drunkenness and gluttonous things like that as well, but I don't really hit in this book. Lying, obstinacy, inconstancy, and levity, and then running with bad company. So I have the chapters organized in order based on his ordering of those. And so looking at the book, working through these sins, trying to bring the law to bear, show how young people are sinners too. Oftentimes, the sins of young people get easily overlooked. That's just childishness or immaturity. And sure, children are childish, children are immature, but that doesn't make them any less a sinner. And so as we think about sin in light of God's law and in light of God's word, we see that God does not turn a blind eye to sin and say, well, that was a cute child, so I'm just going to look past his sin. That's not how God does. And so God sees sin as heinous, and because it is heinous. And so therefore, I'm trying to expose that sin in this book and then provide the anecdote, which is Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior for sinners, the gospel. And so I always want to come back to the gospel. And I really appreciate Tom Hicks's foreword. I think that he summarizes it well. And I hope I'm able to do what he says there, because that's the aim, is to bring the law as a mirror and then bring Christ as the perfect Savior. And then not leave the law out once conversion comes, bringing the law back to bear upon the child, upon us, because the law then is a rule of life that continually reminds us of our need for Christ as it guides us on the way. So that's the book. It's showing the law, using the law to expose these sins, but making sure that we see Christ as the one who is a perfect Savior for sinners. Because we look at pride, for instance, and you have, you think about how the pride just being, well, I would say young men in particular are especially prone to being arrogant. I mean, I was a young man once myself, and I see many young men that are prone to this. And you think about pride in the young person, but then you think about Christ, and you see Christ, who is glorious and majestic, the Son of God, and yet he, in humility, takes on our weakness, it becomes like us in humility, counting the interest of his own people and caring for us. And so you see, and so then you think about Philippians 2, have this mind among you that is the mind of Christ. And so the proud young man comes to before Christ. And I would say, as we see the exalted Christ who came in his state of humility, it really shatters our pride, because it reminds us, one, what do we really have to be proud of? and what do we have to boast in? We're created. Everything is a gift. But then we see Christ, who had every reason to not come in that state of humiliation, because saying he didn't owe us, but in God's mercy and in that flowing from that eternal covenant of redemption, Christ comes in humility for us. And like I say, and that's the solution in every chapter, providing Christ as the solution, pointing to Christ, but not wanting to let the sinner off the hook, but always wanting to make sure and exalt Christ as the only hope for sinners.
As you're speaking, I am reminded of a sad reality that far too many of our dear, precious brethren who share our Reformed faith and yet are paedo-Baptist and have a different understanding of the covenant than we do, many of them, I cannot broad brush, but many of these dear brothers, from whom I have learned so much, they do not warn their children about these things. They do not evangelize them. They do not view them as a mission field. And they are going to presume that they are children of God, and that Christ is their mediator until a day comes when they continue in such overt rebellion that they have to come to the conclusion, I guess I was wrong. My child is not one of the elect. My child needs to be saved. But isn't this a dangerous attitude and a dangerous way to view one's own children? It very often, very sadly, is an example of idolatry, where people lift up their children at such a high state that they view them unconsciously, of course, as idols.
Yeah, absolutely. And this issue right here is what really drove me to studying in the 17th century, that particular issue of, so what did the Baptists do? Were the Baptists just like the Presbyterians? Well, clearly not, because we see our children as in need of a Savior, need of conversion. But then we also see our children as being, is in need of being discipled. So we raise them in the faith. And if we take those two things out, so that's how I'll go around about to get to where you were there, gets back to the topic. So as I studied Keach, and I summarized his theology of children. So how you understand children as they related to the church. And the summary, he never used these terms, but how I summarized it was Benjamin Keach understood children as disciples to be evangelized. We have a responsibility to disciple them, to raise them in the ways of God, to teach them the faith. But we also evangelize them. And as I came back at the end of my dissertation, really rewriting my thesis, evangelizing with urgency. And so if you take that out, if you assume your children are in the covenant, you're not going to evangelize them with urgency. And we believe in God's sovereign grace, but still we see man's responsibility in proclaiming the gospel, and for parents to bring that gospel to bear upon their children and showing them their need for a Savior with urgency. And that was one thing I found too, as I was studying, I was looking at children's literature, even in Baptist circles, was lacking that urgency. It was using language like, well, tell them if they're ready, they can do this. And a slot, if they're ready? I mean, they need Christ. How can we say, well, just present it, you know, like nice to them. And if they're ready, then they can do this. And it's like, no, they stand in need of the Savior, because there's no other name by which we'll be saved. They must repent and believe. That is something that is a command upon them now, not something that they can put off or when they're ready. And so I see errors on both sides. I see that the one side of not evangelizing them at all, because in whether we believe they're already a believer or not, or the other side is we evangelize, but we don't really do it with any urgency. We see this is something that, yeah, it's almost as if it's a good suggestion. And then we wonder why our children, when they get older, don't take Christ seriously, don't take God seriously, the church, they don't take it seriously. I think that we need to recover a proper understanding of children, our responsibility to them as the Lord has entrusted us with them. I think as we study and look back to our forebears, especially our particular Baptist forebears, I think we're reminded of a lot when it comes to parenting children, that they are a gift, yes, but we also have been entrusted with a great responsibility to disciple and evangelize them.
Amen. And by the way, folks, since Corey mentioned the pastor who wrote the foreword to his book, Tom Hicks, who is a pastor of First Baptist Church of Clinton, Louisiana, I thought I'd mention that after this live show, you might want to look up a two-part interview that was conducted over 2 days with Tom Hicks on What is a Reformed Baptist? Those two different interviews were on December 2nd, 2025, and January 9th, 2026. Just type in Tom Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, in the search engine at ironsharpensironradio.com. We have to go to our midway break right now, and we do have some folks who are waiting for their questions to be asked and answered, and we'll get to as many of you as we can when we return. And if you want to join them, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Corey W. Johnson right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us financial support every single month automatically, on top of that, they give us the enormous bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener
simply by that listener saying that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's all you have to do when you purchase your jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, and we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So whether you are buying jewelry that they already have in stock, which you could observe on your laptop or computer, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like an engagement ring, or let's say you want to take your church logo or your parachurch ministry logo or your seminary logo or your denomination logo or your business logo and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up. RoyalDiadem.com are masters at customizing jewelry. I've seen firsthand how breathtaking and stunning their customized jewelry is. So they are the place to go to have your jewelry customized. But whether it's jewelry that they have in stock or whether it's a customized job, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Before I return to my guest today, Dr. Corey W. Johnson, and our conversation on his very important book that every parent and every Christian, period, in the audience should get a hold of, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People. Before we continue with that, I just have some important reminders. If you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. As many of you know, who listen to this program regularly, we have recently lost two of our largest financial supporters, one of which was a local Christian bookstore that had been serving the Christian community globally for decades with the finest in Christian literature at the most reasonable prices. Well, sadly, they permanently closed their doors after 50 years of business just a few months ago, and we lost that enormous advertising client. So we're asking you, please help us to replenish and replace that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Providence Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe. So please, no matter where you live in the world, if you're without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Dr. Corey W. Johnson. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We do have a listener for you with a question, Corey. His name is Dale in Deer Park, Texas. There is a Deer Park, Long Island, not far from where I was born and raised in Amityville, but this is Deer Park, Texas. And Dale says, would you say in your experience that Christians can far too often be overly protective of their children when it comes to warning them about sin? They want to protect their delicate little ears from hearing about things that displease God. And unfortunately, these children may discover these wicked behaviors when they've already started to conduct them, not knowing that they are violating God's law. And if that is true, what kinds of sin are you talking about in your book that would be suitable to read this book to very young children? Do you have ages in mind where parents could read this book to their children?
Yeah. Thank you, Dale. I mean, I grew up in Deer Park, so right next door to us.
Wow.
Here in Pasadena. And so I think you're exactly right. We can very easily want to protect our children and have a misguided view of our children. I think that goes both ways. I think you can err on one side or the other. Sometimes we can view our children like just very harshly, or we can view our children as innocent. And I see more of that than anything where people do. And so with that, I think that you're right too on how we almost protect our children from God's law, in the sense of what it requires, what it demands. And we don't bring it to bear on our children. I mean, if you look at catechisms, your historic catechisms, they all covered the Ten Commandments. I mean, and so you look at that. Now, I think today we'll a lot of times still teach the Ten Commandments. Our kids will know them, but do they really know what God's law requires of them? And so, so I agree. And I'll say, just to add to that, if they don't learn these things from us, who are they going to learn them from? Because someone, they're going to learn somewhere. And oftentimes it's their peers, it's social media, the internet, YouTube, television. And if they aren't learning these things from us, they're going to learn from somewhere else. And so the ages I have in mind, this book is written more for, like I would talk about this in the, I think, the preface. It's kind of like a family discussion. We're sitting around the table talking. And so I have in mind children of all ages, although some of the language I use, young children aren't going to be able to grasp, but I try to define terms. I try to define, you know, prodigality, for instance. We all have heard of the prodigal son, but I try to define words such as that. And then there's also a study guide that Founders Press has that I think helps as well to be able to bring these things out and talk to your children about these things. So I would recommend getting the book, reading through it, looking at it, and seeing how it could be useful to you and in your family. And even with the study guide there, because we want to teach our children, in our home, we've always considered, we want to teach our children even before we think they can articulate these things, understand them. We want to always be teaching them. And clearly there's an age appropriate manner in which we talk about things. For instance, when we talk about sexual sin, there's an age appropriate manner, but we want to be planting those seeds early for that conversation. If we wait till they're in their teens to have that conversation, it's never too late, but in one sense, we have waited too long. And so we should be having these conversations regularly. And so that's what I've tried to do with the book, is to try to equip you as a parent, to try to help older children to read and examine. But I would say that the concepts in there are appropriate to children of any age. Obstinacy is one of them. Stubbornness is what that is. I mean, you see that with children very young. I mean, 1-2 years old, you see a child being stubborn. We have to teach them those things. We teach them that that is sinful versus laughing about it. I see myself tempted to do this, and I see other parents do this. We see a 2-year-old resisting their parents, refusing to come when mom or dad called them, and we laugh. But we don't laugh whenever an 18-year-old resists mom or dad's counsel or wisdom. We don't laugh then whenever that 18-year-old goes and does something that is just heinous. We don't laugh then. So if we protect them when they're young, in that sense, protecting them against seeing the law and seeing their sin in light of that law, we do them a disservice. So great question. If you're in the area, come to Providence. We'd love to meet you. I'd love to talk with you and talk with you more about these things.
Great. We have a similar question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. Do you have any counsel about when we should begin warning our children about eternity in hell for unbelievers?
Yeah, good question. I think that you train up your children, catechize them from a young age to where these things are caught. Like, personally, in my life, I don't remember a time not knowing about eternity in hell. Now, obviously, if we're only talking about eternity in hell, we're emphasizing just part of the story, part of the news. But I don't think there's ever really a time that's too young. I think we want to be talking about these things where this is natural conversation early on. Now, we're not trying to scare our children where they can't sleep every night, but they do need to understand the reality. And we do. I mean, my wife and I will a lot of times pray that our children would be restless until they find their rest in Christ. I don't want to give them a false comfort, but also want to love them and care for them, know that they are loved and cared for in this home. But like I say, if you teach them catechetically, you know, teach them through a catechism, those kind of things are going to be taught early on. And I would just recommend teaching your kids about these things from a young age, but also talking about the rest of the hope that they have in Christ, because the good news is understood in light of the bad and in light of eternal punishment in hell and what we're saved from, the wrath of God.
So. Yeah, I just actually recommended that the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s began to read this book with her 16-year-old granddaughter. Her 16-year-old granddaughter frequently will spend the weekend at her house, and I thought that that would be a wise suggestion. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions on the mechanisms of how that should be done? As far as the actual going through the book, should they just read it chapter by chapter until they're finished? Or obviously you mentioned a workbook that would obviously be very helpful, but tell us about your thoughts on that.
No, I think the workbook is a good place to start. It's with Founders Press. Each chapter, there's questions, there's thoughts. So each chapter of the workbook goes through with questions for discussion, question for personal reflection, working through the Bible passages, summarizes the chapter, and then there's also points for prayer, kind of just some guidelines or just some things that you can pray, directions for prayer. I would say that would be a good place. If you don't have the workbook, look at the scriptures that are in there and don't race through the book. Go to those scriptures, read them in their context, look at what is being said there. Because it's really, I mean, if you look at the index of the book, there's a lot of scripture. I mean, my prayer was that this book would be bathed in scripture, bathed in the word of God, and go to those scripture references, look at them, spend some time in there. So I would not race through the book. I would do a chapter at a time and then reflect upon that chapter. Look at the scripture references. If you have the means to get the study guide, get the study guide and use that to help guide. But that's the way if you think of how I taught it to our youth. I did essentially a chapter a week whenever I taught there. So I took a topic, went through it. And so that's how I would recommend, is taking a chapter at a time and not moving on until you feel good about, you know, that we've got kind of understanding the content. We've worked through the scripture references there, and now we're good to move on. So that's how I would recommend using the book.
Excellent. Let's see. We have Helena in Stuttgart, Arkansas, or Stuttgart. Helena asks, you mentioned earlier that you were baptized at 10. Do you think that was a too young of an age to have that done as you look in retrospect upon your life? Is there a more proper age when you think a child's profession of faith could be viewed credibly before you provide that ordinance for them?
Yeah, great question. That's one that I have wrestled with in my life and pastorally. And our practice at Providence is to delay baptism, not for the sake of delay, but for the sake of seeing fruit. Does that a credible profession? And also looking historically how you've seen baptisms in Baptist churches, and we can look in the scriptures, we see really, we don't see young children being baptized or youth. Well, really, you don't see young people being baptized at all in the Bible. It looks like adults. And then historically, it does seem to be a delay in Baptist churches. There are different debates on this topic. I talked to Tom Hicks about it, and he helped me with something I thought was really good. If you're going to baptize a young child, they need to have an adult-like profession. And so he says, I'm looking for an adult-like profession out of that child, and not to take away childlike faith and all that, but to consider that this is we're looking for a credible profession. We're looking for one who's calling upon the name of the Lord, and that they're bearing fruit, that the fruit matches. And Dennis Gunderson wrote a book, Your Child's Profession of Faith.
Yeah.
And there, one thing I like what he talks about, he says that childhood is a time of sowing. It's not a time of harvest. And so he therefore recommends delaying and waiting. The youngest that we've baptized at Providence, I think, is 14, and that's one. Typical 15, 16 is going to be about the youngest that we've baptized. So I do stand on, if I was going back and I was the pastor of me, which I don't think that could happen, but if I was in that pastor's shoes, I would recommend delay personally. But that's where our church has landed on the issue. There's a lot of debate. There's good books written on both sides, but regardless, we want to take that. We want to take the duty of examining that profession of faith. We want to take that duty, that responsibility with great care, but we also don't want to discourage a child. I would want to encourage a child in that profession as well. So if a 9-10-year-old is professing faith, I want to encourage them in that. I don't want to discourage them. So,
by the way, I know that Dennis Gunderson has retired and he closed his book his book publishing ministry. Do you happen to know the best place to get that book today? I just happened to click on Amazon and they're offering it for $49 or something, and that's a very thin book.
Yeah, they've redone it. Let me see. We just got a newer version. I think you can get it on Christian Book. That's the first thing that I see coming up right here. That might be the best place. Let me see. Grace and Truth Books, maybe.
I think that was his publisher that he closed now.
Oh, was it really? Oh, really? Okay. I didn't realize that.
Now, I know that Ted Christman wrote a book that Founders published, Forbid Them Not, Rethinking the Baptism and Church Membership of Children and Young People.
Right.
I think that he has in mind it being more acceptable to baptize younger children than Dennis does, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. But with his book, he has an excellent list of questions to ask the young person. I mean, his book is good. I think both books, I would say, set up side by side, listen to both authors, what they have to say. That book, Forbid Them Not, I read that recently, and I really appreciated the list of questions that he has that you should ask a child. And they are very mature questions in the sense of what he's looking for in that profession of faith.
anybody wants that one, once again, the website for Founders Press is press.founders.org, press.founders.org. And the issue of young people coming to worship with their Christian parents, is there an age when you believe that a parent no longer should make it absolutely mandatory to insist that their children accompany them at worship services? If you have a child that's clearly not a believer, you've warned them, as in many ways as the Bible has examples, and you fled with them, cried over them, and they are just absolutely miserable coming to church, should, while they're living under your roof, should you still insist that they accompany you?
That's a good question. I haven't really given a lot of thought to that, but that's a really good question. I think that there would be something to how old is the child, how old is the young person there. I think also what are they doing in life? I would assume, you know, obviously early teens, I wouldn't really give much of an option. But I'd have to think about that more. That's a great question to consider. Like if you have an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, that's where like they're becoming an adult. How would you treat them in that? That's a really good question. I don't have a good answer for that one.
And by the way, the Grace and Truth website is still up, so I'm not 100% sure if it's still active, but graceandtruthbooks.com, Grace and, you have to type out the full word, and A-N-D, truthbooks.com. So give it a shot if you want to get the Dennis Gunderson book, Your Child's Profession of Faith. And there's a phone number on that website as well if you want to call first to make sure. Please go through some of the highlights in the book that you want to make sure our listeners know about before we run out of time, and I just don't ever bring them up.
Yeah, good. So one of them, I mentioned pride before, so I won't go back to that one. The chapter on idleness and deferment, I've mentioned this, alluded to this, but with young people, and Keach does a good job bringing this out in other places as well, just this assumption of long life. And I can think back to my life growing up, you never assume you're going to die. You know it's out there, you know that's a possibility, but you never think that that's going to happen to me. And so there's just this assumption of long life. And with that assumption is to put off work until tomorrow. And so, therefore, young people are often, they give themselves to many things, but they avoid or don't give themselves to the most important things, busying themselves with play and leisure. But young age is the best time to give oneself to the Lord. Sin has not been as stacked up. You're not as hardened. You have strength. You have zeal. And so we want to bring children up to maturity, and we want to help them with self-control to be able to use that season. And that's what Keach is doing here. He's going to the parable of the vineyard, the laborers in the vineyard, and making a connection to the third hour as being young, you know, young age. And he says that's not, he's taking that as an application from the passage, not that that is explicitly right there in the text, but that that is the time when young people are called, because he says the first hour is too early. That's when they're infants, they're babies. But then that third hour when they're young is the best time to give themselves to the Lord. And elsewhere in a book that he writes, he says, if you're going to set out on a journey, when's the best time to set out? And he says, in the morning, early in the day. And if you use that analogy and take it over here for the young person, when's the best time to begin the journey? it's at young age, not to wait until you're older. And so we oftentimes have this idea, well, I'll get serious about the Lord, I'll these religious matters, church and all that, maybe when I'm married, maybe when I have kids. And the problem is that, one, we're presuming upon God's grace and kindness. And as Keach cleverly says, why would you think that God is going to come knocking at the door when you're later on in life? He is calling now. What makes you say, what makes you think that he's going to call you again? And I mean, this isn't, we're not talking about the effectual calling, but we're talking about that outward call. Why would we put off Christ? Why would we put him off? So that's one of the highlights early on in the book, is about young age is not just a time for play. Sure, children are going to play and enjoy and do things, but young age, we're bringing children up to maturity. I mean, childhood is not just, hey, let's be children, and then all of a sudden they become adults. I mean, we're raising them up to maturity. We're raising them up for the Lord. And with that, another highlight for parents to consider. I can't remember if I deal with it here. I've written a few other things for Legato, but this is something to consider for parents. Who are you raising your children up for? For the devil or for the Lord? And so when we consider that with these sins, are you going to just let them have at it and just do whatever they will? Or are you raising them up for the Lord? Are you raising these up to be children of God? And so when we look at sins such as lying, will we think that, oh, well, that's just a white lie? That's just, that's not that big of a deal. They're just lying to get out of trouble. Well, we need to help our children see that that's an affront to God. God is a God of truth. In the scriptures, we see who is a liar, who is a deceiver. And Jesus says, you're like your father, the devil. I mean, that's who's the liar and the deceiver. God is a God of truth. So when we look and minimize these sins, and that's what I would say the book is really trying to help us not minimize the sins of young people. Because when we do so, we make it seem like, well, my child just told a white lie, whatever that is. I mean, there is a definition for that, but whatever that means, and it's not that big of a deal. But that right there cultivates, nourishes within our children not a hunger for truth, and the idea that maybe I can fudge the truth a little bit. Maybe I can tell a little bit of a lie. Maybe it's not that important to tell the truth. And then we start seeing, or then we stop seeing, just how amazing it is that Jesus Christ is the faithful one and the true one. I'm preaching through Revelation right now, and you see that about Jesus. He is faithful and true. Never once was he never once entertained telling a lie, even if it could have gotten him out of major trouble. He never once entertained bearing false witness. He stayed the course and told the truth about himself, even though it cost him his very own life. So those were a couple of highlights from the book there. So
I remember vividly, even though I'm 64 years old, I remember being a young man and having that confidence that I was going to live forever. And then Lord began to call to my attention people that I knew, none of my very close friends, thankfully, died at young ages. But there were people that I knew from school. I knew them well. They just weren't among my inner circle of closest friends, but they who died in car accidents, who died in boating accidents, nearly always combined with drunkenness. And that it took that to start to shake me up, you know, to realize that I may not live forever. It was interesting because even before I was born again, I was raised Roman Catholic. And I knew that if I died while I was in that state of rebellion as a young man, I knew I would go to hell. I believed that hell was real. I believed that heaven was real. I believed that Jesus Christ was truly God and all that, and that he actually existed. But I knew all that even as a lost young man. And believed that perhaps even especially as a young man, that behaving in all those rebellious ways were a rite as a rite of passage into manhood, that this is what I'm supposed to do, you know? But thankfully he did eventually in my mid 20s, get a hold of me and brought me to my knees. And I'm just thanking God every day that he rescued me from sin and death. But we have to go to our final commercial break right now. So if you'd like to send in a question, do it now, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, please don't ever forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we have Margaret in Brownsburg, Indiana, who wants to know, since this is such a visual age, I was wondering if this book is available in a video presentation that you may have created and how we can get a hold of that.
Yeah, good question. Not at the time. Maybe in the future. Send a request to Founders Press. Get that in there. Put that bug in their ear. But as of right now, it's available in print, ebook, and I believe there's an audio book as well available. But as of right now, that's all.
And the workbook.
In the workbook.
Yes. And once again, that website is press.founders.org. We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I know that girls in our day and age also not only succumb to the temptations of sexual immorality, but are often afraid or ashamed of being mocked for being a virgin. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, that this category of sin is far more expected to be behaved by young men who, ironically, are often called homosexuals if they are not having sex with girls, even if they are Christians who would oppose adamantly homosexual activity. Is there any unique way of counseling young men in such a way that they can be reassured that there is nothing unmasculine about being sexually pure until marriage.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, I think that the best example we have in Scripture is Jesus Christ. We see one who never married, one who was pure in life. And Jesus is one of the pastors, Bruce, at our church a while back. He was like, you want to see what a manly man is? Look at Jesus Christ. And that is someone who I think we can look to and look at and see in his life. And he was mocked. I mean, we don't know what all for, but we don't know everything he was mocked for. We don't know if he was mocked for that or not. I mean, we have no scripture record, but we have purity. We have one who was mocked and yet stayed the course. And so we look to Christ, and I would say look to Christ as our hope, our Savior, and as Peter tells us, as our example.
Amen. And if you could, Corey, please leave our listeners today with what you most want etched in their hearts and minds before the program is over.
Yeah, very good. First of all, I'd just say, we'll just continue to pray that the Lord would bring salvation to our homes, bring salvation to our churches, to the young people in our midst, as well as those who are older and everywhere in between. But I would say for parents, and for those who are not parents, listen, because you also can encourage parents, whether you're a grandparent, whether you haven't had children. If you're a grandparent, help the parents, support the parents. If you're not a parent, encourage parents in this way. Encourage parents to continue to teach their children in the ways of God, to pray for them, to provide a godly example for their children. And parents, your child doesn't need a perfect parent. They didn't get a perfect parent. Your child needs a parent who points them to Christ both through word and deed. So in your life, don't try to be perfect. Don't try to, in the sense of what I mean by that is don't try to cover up your sin, your need for a Savior. You need God's grace just as much as your children do. And the best example they will see is a parent who is walking by faith. And a repentant, penitent parent who looks to the Lord Jesus Christ needing his grace. That is the best example you can provide for a child. As you sin against your children, asking your child's forgiveness, asking the Lord's forgiveness and your child's forgiveness, and reminding your children that you too are a sinner in need of a Savior. That would be the words I would leave just for parents to be reminded of this great responsibility and for the church to come alongside parents and encourage parents, those who've been down the road, who have the experience to encourage those who don't have children, encourage the parents, because this can be a difficult work, a work in which there are many temptations to give in and say, I'll just let my kids do whatever they want because it'd be easier that way. But that's not what the Lord has called us to. The Lord has called us to train our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Amen. We could squeeze in one more quick question. Christian in Oxford, Connecticut, is asking a question that actually reflects something that you just said. Are there any sins that parents have committed that we should never tell our children?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, I'd probably need, counsel on what that is, but there are some things that in age-appropriate ways, you probably, there might be the right time to talk about them depending on what that is, but there can be some prudence in that as well, and how you share things and when you share things with your children. So without having details, I think there can be some wisdom there as well in that.
All righty. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information they need for you. First of all, the website, once again, for Providence Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas, is providence-bc.com, providence-bc.com. If you want to find out more about Providence Bible Institute, go to providence-bc.com/learn, providence-bc.com /learn. And the publisher where you can get this book, The Folly and Vanity of Youth, Confronting the Sins Common to Young People, Founders Press. That's press.founders.org, press.founders.org. I want to thank you so much, Corey, for being an outstanding guest. And I want everybody to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.